And we are back. It's Right Side Radio here on this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful inauguration day, covering down on all the issues. And we are so glad that the Joe Biden presidency is over and the Donald Trump presidency is back. And it started today on January 20th, 2025. And right now on the line, we got host Phil Williams, who was not able to come here today because he's up in D.C. having a good time with everybody up there watching the inauguration and rubbing elbows with all the important people up in D.C. So, but we want to know his thoughts on everything and see what he's feeling up there, sort of the vibes and everything up in D.C. right now. So he's on the line right now. Phil, how are you and Charlene enjoying things up in D.C. watching the inauguration?
Hey, man, listen, it has been something else. Just being here, the air has got kind of an electricity to it. And, yeah, Charlene and I, we are, like, worn out, tired, but all's good. And we actually, you know, everything changed. When they moved it inside, everything changes. It doesn't matter what you had ticket for. You, at that point, you had to have a new plan. And we've known Congressman Adderholt for quite a long time, and we were able to get an opportunity to go to just join some other constituents from his district in the 4th Congressional District to watch it from his office in the Cannon office building next to the Capitol. Literally had a view of the Capitol right out the window, and because he has a premier office. He's got seniority, and so he had a great view. Anyway, we just had a great time being there with friends and talking and just watching the whole thing transpire, and I got a lot of thoughts on how that whole situation, the inaugural today, went down.
Well, yeah. First question. You know, I've seen a lot of liberals talking about how they moved the inauguration indoors because Trump was afraid of a lack of crowd that was going to be there. But well, with you being up there, has the cold, you know, stopped anybody from showing up? I know there was tons of people at his rally last night.
Oh, listen, Charlene and I walked around last night. And to me, part of the whole just, you know, amazing atmosphere were the people that were willing to wait in line for a chance to be inside the arena. Originally, we had tickets to be in the arena, and then they did away with tickets. I don't know who made that decision, but suddenly we had no tickets, and so we weren't going to stand out there. But there were people who stood out there almost overnight. Wow. In Arctic weather. And listen, don't let anybody tell you it wasn't cold. It was freezing. We had to walk a ways today just to get to a place because of all the road closures to get an Uber to take us to where our meeting point for the congressional office was. And it was massively cold. But no, I haven't seen any damper enthusiasm. And that's just crap. The idea that Trump moved it indoors to avoid the image of it. Listen, he won the popular vote. He won the Electoral College. He took every one of the swing states. He has the biggest mandate. He shut down a first-term presidency of the Biden-Harris administration. He just shut it down completely. And no, he owned today. And truth be told, there would have been a huge crowd out there, cold or not. The entire world was – we literally have sat in our hotel lobby and visited with people from Canada, Montana, a lot from Alabama. Every state in the nation is here, and it would have been quite the scene.
Yeah, well, Jeff from Indiana texted and said you went up to D.C. to warm up, so that it's colder down here than it is up there. So, yeah, it's been pretty cold down here today, I must say. But yeah, I mean that I've seen videos of that too, of people just being everywhere. Like the crowd of people to get into the rally was massive, and the amount of people that were around D.C. just in general today I've seen has been massive, even with the bad weather and the cold and such. But in terms of the speech itself, you know, Trump gave a 29-minute speech, which I thought was very focused and pragmatic and what the speech needed to be. I think it was sort of the good Trump, not the rambling, you know, weaving Trump where people were, you know, struggling to keep up. He was very pragmatic and focused on what he wants to do in this administration. But what were your thoughts on the speech when you heard it?
Well, several thoughts. You know, first of all, I think he nailed it. He came out and he said the golden age of America is back, and you know that, and that just set the tone for going forward. You know, and I loved the content. But here's one of the first things that struck me: as he began to make this speech, it was no holds barred. He was not going to be deferential to the outgoing administration, but he was not rude. But he was not going to pull punches. And I got to thinking about it. Why would he? He has every mandate to say what he's saying. He also, by the way, has had his life turned upside down. He's, you know, between lawfare and two assassination attempts, one of which made him bleed and killed another bystander, and then, you know, trying to crush his businesses, trying to crush his family, trying to destroy his very soul. The fact is, he needed to say those things with Biden and Harris sitting right next to him. And I think the world needed to hear him say those things. But I thought the way he said it was professional and direct and really somewhat presidential if you get down to it.
Yeah, I agree. Having Kamala sitting right next to him during that whole speech was it was poetic. And there's also parts where Joe maybe was nodding off and looking down. So that also fell right in line with everything we've seen for 4 years. But yeah, the very direct, and apparently he, you know, made reference to stuff that Biden and Obama said during their speeches, sort of, you know, poking fun at them, sort of the terminology. I think the common sense thing was something Biden said in his speech, I think. So, yeah, he's not only going at him, but he's pulling receipts, too, and pointing things out. But not, I'm impressed with the executive orders. And I want to know what your thoughts on this. Literally 10 minutes after the inauguration began, the border was secure in the sense of they had patrol officers shutting down portals of entry and had riot gear to stop anybody from coming in. Literally, the Trump agenda is starting right now, like not even 10 minutes after he came into office. And he's signing executive orders and such. How impressed are you that it's starting literally right now, like not even 10 minutes after he got sworn in? Right away, his agenda is starting to take place.
Yeah. And it should. And I think you have to do that. Catch them before they have a chance to figure out how to do something to mess it up. And I'll tell you, I'll go one step further, too, JP. I saw a report as we sat in our forever Uber ride trying to get through the snarls of traffic back to our hotel. I saw one report that said that the CBP, the Customs and Border Patrol app that Biden's administration created, so you can fill out your paperwork online and walk across the border. The app shut down 10 minutes after he was sworn in.
Wow.
So I mean, just on and on and on. And you know, that speech was just filled up, and it was red meat, but it was good. It was like, it was red meat cooked well, if you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It was just literally things like, there will be two genders as a policy. In the United States, there will be, you know, a return to common sense. There's going to be a restoration of the military. He's going to put the military on the southern border under Northern Command. He's, you know, on and on and on. I mean, the fact that he said drill, baby, drill in the middle of his speech, I was just, listen, I was on cloud nine. It was almost to the point of being emotional to hear this speech, because for 4 years, that's what I've done on Right Side Radio, is talk about this very day.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very refreshing. And not only that, but also apparently one of the executive orders he'll be signing is to name it the Gulf of America officially. So that's just not a poke fun thing. Like, he's doing it right away, which is awesome. And, you know, the stuff that needs to happen right away, which I'm loving it. But have you seen any protests or anything like that going on up in D.C.? Has there been anything substantial of, you know, bad protests blocking traffic or something like that?
No, I haven't seen massive protests. I've seen one-off stuff. You know, we had somebody got into the halls of the congressional offices today and began shouting while we were there, and somebody else said, get up and lock the door. You know, so I don't know what that was about. We had somebody on the street who literally yelled in my ear, and you know, just all I could do was just keep Charlene close. But those were one-offs. They didn't feel like anything organized. They felt like angry individual people. We did see there's a group out there on the near the Capitol grounds that brought a guillotine, and they, you know, they're putting up their signs. And then I posted a picture on Twitter of all the handmade, headbills that are stuck all over walls all over the place, saying, you know, Trump supporters go home, trans haters go home, you know, all that kind of stuff. But you know what? The reality is, security here is like nothing I have ever seen before. There's over 5,000 National Guardsmen that have been deployed, and they're everywhere. I mean, and then I really feel like a part of the plan was not to announce which streets will be closed. Even our Uber drivers were confused, and they know the city like the back of their hands. But between road closures and blockades and fence lines, I mean, last night, Charlene and I, we had to walk back to our hotel about a mile in the snow and sleet, and we got to a point that we couldn't go any further, and we could almost see the turn to our hotel, and I had to ask a guy through the fence, what do we do? And he literally looked at me and goes, don't tell anybody I told you this, but go back a block and cut out and then walk down the street through the cars. And that's what we had to do.
Wow.
But security has been really impressive.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they had it indoors in the Rotunda, because I mean, me and Emily were talking about this off air. It's almost unfortunate you just sit back and think you're almost wait for something bad to happen. You know, things are almost going too well. All right, when's the shoes going to drop? And of course, we saw somebody take an attempt at his life. But I think having it in the Rotunda and all that, it's been nice. It feels like there's an extra measure of safety to keep anything like that from happening. So not only just for the cold, but I think for his safety, it's great that it was indoors in the Rotunda. But I want to ask you too before we take a time out here. Biden decides to pardon his whole family literally 30 minutes before Trump takes his inauguration speech. And then last night at midnight decides to preemptively pardon Fauci, the January 6th committee. And his last moments as president is him doing preemptive pardons, which he said in 2020 he would not do. What are your thoughts on that? Literally, I mean, I'm not kidding, 30 minutes before the ceremony started, his last action as president was pardoning his whole family. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, how small do these people look, right?
Yeah.
I mean, literally, how small and petty and conniving and hand-wringing do these people look? The very idea that the president is going to pardon his whole family? Who does that? Who says, we must have all really done some bad things, so we're going to pardon everybody in the family? You got a second cousin? Pardon them. Why not? And then the Fauci and Millie. And listen, Millie ought to be ashamed. Millie should never walk out in public again. That man is a former Green Beret, a Ranger. He's a combat diver. He's got, you know, a combat infantryman's badge from two wars. He supposedly got all the scare me badges on your uniform you can have to be someone who's brave and bold. And the first thing he does is say, thank you, President Biden, for giving me a pardon for things that no one's even indicted me on yet. Well, that tells me a lot about you, sir. It tells me a lot about your character. And I'm glad you no longer lead the troops. Because you don't need to be there. They need somebody in there who's got some brass. But the reality is, yeah, these pardons are gross. They're sycophantic, and I look at the whole thing and think they really ought to. It's like they're walking away with their tail between their legs, and truly they are really. And I'll tell you, JP, before we go, we can come back after the break if you want to. But one of my favorite moments was outside the window of the congressman's office. I posted a video on Twitter, and I think you posted it for me also that I uploaded to Dropbox. And if people didn't see it yet, watch all the way to the last 46 seconds or the last 10 seconds, because I zoomed in on the Capitol Dome with the flag and Marine One actually flying away, taking Biden away from the White House. And it was just like, ugh. Away from the Capitol, I mean. It was perfect.
It was very symbolic, yeah. The video is great. If you haven't seen it, go to Phil's Twitter and check that out. In terms of the pardons, they've already taken down Millie's portrait from wherever it was hanging up in the Capitol, I assume. I bet Trump, right when he was off, that was probably one of the first things he had done, is have Millie's portrait taken down right away. So he's not holding back on that stuff either. Well, we're going to take a quick time out, and if you want to hold on during the break, it's your own show, so I guess you can do whatever you want, but yeah.
I will make the executive decision that I will hold on.
All right, great. This sounds good. We're going to take a quick break, though. We got Phil up in D.C. giving us the scoop on how everything's going, his thoughts on the inauguration ceremony and such. So stay tuned. We're going to get back to it next segment. So we'll take a quick time out. This is Right Side Radio, and we'll be right back. And we are back here live from the Right Side Studios. This is producer JP filling in for Phil today while he's up in D.C. enjoying the inauguration festivities. And he is currently on the line with us, letting us know what he's seeing up there and his thoughts on the inauguration ceremony and the speech and such. But Phil, I guess we'll get right back into it. You went to the governor's breakfast, and you've been hanging out with a lot of the Alabama congressmen up there in D.C. What are their feelings? You know, that obviously they got to be stoked to have a Trump presidency back and being able to serve under Trump and achieve his agenda. But just from you talking to them and being around them, what's the level of excitement like with the Alabama delegate up there?
Oh, it's definitely an elevated mood. I mean, listen, it's not just the Trump administration, which, you know, makes everything better, because when you pass a bill, you want to know it's not going to get vetoed. You also love having the fact that the Trump agenda is what you say you stand for. And I would say that the majority of Republicans are absolutely on board with this. There's going to be a few establishment types who are lukewarm to doing things that, you know, are too much into the conservative agenda. But I think they're few and far between. I mean, my sense is right now there is a robust desire to do the things that Trump talked about today and to have pride in what they're doing. Alabama's delegation, with the exception of our two Democrats, both our senators and five of our congressional reps are all very solid. I was with Barry Moore night before last at an event, and Congressman Moore is one of the Freedom Caucus members. He is just fired up and stoked. I was with Gary Palmer briefly at breakfast yesterday. He's absolutely ready to get moving. He's going to be on the show Wednesday, I believe. And then, of course, with Congressman Atterholt today. So it's been game on. It's got a game on mentality, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, I mean, they've had to serve under the Biden administration for 4 years. They've got to be so stoked to finally have somebody back in that's willing to achieve, you know, some common sense. And they're going to have a lot of fun, I think, under this administration for sure. Well, we got about 3 minutes or about 2.5 minutes before we got to take a timeout. What would you like to say to the ruffians out there and your thoughts, your excitement overall with this new golden era, the golden age coming back to America and what he's wanting to achieve up from D.C.? What would you like to say to the ruffians about your thoughts on everything that's going on so far in an incoming Trump administration once again?
Well, you know, thanks, JP. And listen, by the way, thanks for holding down the fort and giving me a chance to do this. It's wonderful to know that I've got somebody that I trust to lead back there in the studio, and you do amazing work.
Appreciate it.
But you know, so here's one thing I would say. If there's anybody out there who, because of work or their schedule or something else, did not get a chance to see Trump's swearing-in ceremony speech, the actual inaugural speech, the moment after he, you know, took the oath of office, it is absolutely worth watching. If you believe in the conservative values that right side ruffians typically stand for, that speech is everything you would want to hear. It's said in such a way that it's unequivocal. You know, there was never once any time in there where I thought, ooh, I wouldn't have said it that way. Not once. And I look at it and think it was a speech for the ages. But I'll also say too, what I love is the fact that he's got an entire administration right now that is built of people who were handpicked for the team. There's not the sense we had in 2016 where you're coming in hoping they can figure it out sometime soon. They're doing the best they can. They've never been here before. None of that. I hate to say that the interim was good for a Trump administration, but the interim between, you know, 2020 and now, what that did, though, was I think it straightened his backbone even more. I think it grew us the ability to have an administration that is unequivocal. I think we're going to see a whole lot more done in the 2024 Trump than we would have even in 2020, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So all said and done, I'm extremely optimistic. And this is what, you know, we started Right Side Radio not long after Biden got elected. We actually got approached to do this within a few months of Biden's election. It took a few more months to get us on the air. But I will say this. This is what we have been talking towards on the national level for the last several years. And now I get to talk about it happening on a daily basis. And so me personally, I'm charged.
Yeah, I mentioned this is the first ever Right Side Radio show under a Trump administration, and Phil's up in D.C. He's not even able to do the show from down here, but we appreciate him calling in, letting us know his thoughts and what he's seeing up there in D.C. We'll let you get back to the festivities, Phil, but we appreciate you coming on and letting us know your thoughts.
All right, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, we'll see you. All right, well, we're going to take a quick timeout, and we'll be back continuing to break down all of the inauguration talk and the news of the day. It's Trump is back, and we're excited here at Right Side Radio, so stay tuned.